Hey guys, welcome to Photography Insights, the show that goes behind the scenes and interviews people from the photography world. Today, I have a very different show for you. Yes, you've just got the pleasure of my company for a change. I'm actually going on holiday in a week's time. We have tried to arrange a couple of podcasts and they've gone wrong at the very last minute for a couple of reasons. So hopefully they will happen in the next couple of weeks. It's just part of life with this sort of thing, and it's nothing to worry about. So what I thought I'd do is take this opportunity to talk a little bit about some of the project work I've been doing. So as you all know, you've seen some of my posts recently about finishing one of the projects. This one was the one called The Secret Project. And it was all about an international one I did a couple of years ago. It started off with the simple idea of wanting to get some new people involved and have a bit of fun together, because it's one of the main things that comes out of this sort of thing. This collaborative sort of approach seems to excite people, especially myself. And you can learn a lot about yourself, and you can learn a little bit about what's out there, maybe introduce you to new things you've never tried before. Now, the reason this happened was my very first project. I'd not been in photography that long, and I wanted to expand my world. So what I did was send my camera off to a bunch of people that I found through Facebook. And I came up with this little idea of sending it around to these people. I'll take a few shots and let's see what happens. Now, that there's always something behind it, so whether it's some sort of record or something, that's always a really nice thing to do. And this one was called Negative Journey. It was sent using my Olympus OM10, and at the time it was the only camera I had, so it was quite a big thing for me, to be honest. So while that was off, I then had to buy another one. So you can see it's a very different thought process for me. It's not about hoarding cameras. I do not have gas, as you all know. So the greatest thing about doing that project was meeting people, to be honest. I learned a little bit about shooting and organising, because it's one of the things that comes out of inevitably doing a project, is you do have to have some sort of organisation. I mean, you can do it as haphazard as you want, to be honest. But what I wanted to do was make it easy for everyone. So that involves a little bit of planning behind the scenes, so how many pictures you're going to do, what camera you're going to do. You're going to have to write something down instruction wise for them, or what they've got to do. What if they have problems with a camera, they've never seen it before. It could be a load that goes left to right instead of right to left. And there's all these little things that you need to think about. Now obviously here I'm talking about analog projects, because I don't send in a digital camera around anywhere. Now, there are so many different age groups now shooting film, and as you know, I'm in my 40s and that's my first time shooting film. But you'll get a lot of people in 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe even 80s that have not shot film for decades. So why not get them back? So yeah, that's a couple of things to think about. Now, The other point of being organised is you're going to have a list of people that are going to be involved. Yeah, this structure just allowed me to keep up to date with who I was sending the camera to and the person after them. And I was trying to keep it all sort of compliant with data regulations, so I didn't maintain people's names and addresses for long. And I certainly didn't disclose it to anyone else other than the person they needed to send it to next. you know, all these little things do matter. I take this sort of work professionally in that sense, and obviously making it easy for everyone is only ever going to help yourself. So if you do fancy doing a project like that, any advice you need, please do ask. And obviously if you want to get involved in anything, just keep an eye on the feed, and the best way is always to sign up for the newsletter. So for instance, these people who took part in the negative journey, a few were friends, one of them was a film lab company that I was using at the time, and they sponsored the development, which was very kind of them. And then the idea after that one was that they were actually going to get involved in the next project. Now this was my secret project, and obviously when you come to this sort of thing, the scale is much different, and what's going to happen on the project is very, very different. So this one was a worldwide one. Now if you think negative journey around the UK covered about 900 miles, I think it was about 8 photographers, whereas the secret project involved 30,000 miles and took 17 months across 3 different countries, and actually took closer to 2 years by the time I'd finished writing about it. So the main difference is when you send in to different countries, you're going to have to think about your film choice. It's going to go through scanners, so you've got this sort of thing to think about, and you've also got a massive cost to send the camera. You've obviously got to protect your camera, so there's got to be sufficient boxing and that packaging to make it safe. But at the same time, I didn't want to make it too stupid so no one could afford to send it to the next person, because ultimately the idea is it was only going to be one or two people per country. These people are all again signed up through being friends or being on the show or being involved with somehow. Now it's a great shame that technically the project failed. Now obviously if you want to hear more about any of these projects, just go to the website flogger.co.uk, and there you can see some of the images, see some of the books and documentation involved, and there's an ebook on the first negative project, and there's an ebook on the negative journey as well. And you'll probably see how much my work has changed on this sort of thing. So yeah, well, my projects are very different. So this is obviously my second project, so that's about 3 years between the two so far. There is another one that's already on the go, so I'll talk about that in a second. But what these two projects have taught me is it is fun from both points of view in my eyes. With the secret project, it was great. The theme I came up with and the way I kept it a total secret from the people who've been involved was really, really cool way of doing it. And it was nice to see them use a little bit of digital work to keep a track of where the camera was. So this didn't give away too much. It was a nice, lovely reminder that the project is still ongoing. So the good idea there is to use an Instagram hashtag. Just try and find something unique and put that everywhere. So yeah, one little tip for you. Other things are, obviously, you're reaching out to different people in different parts of the world. You can become friends with these people. I've stayed friends with people from the negative journey. One of them's Leighton. He's even sponsored a website for me at one stage. So I'm very grateful for knowing these people. And it's interesting, them following their work, because it's all about supporting each other. And of course, there are going to be downsides to any of this sort of work. You just listen, talk to anyone, do any research on Facebook, for instance, and you see people have done this sort of thing before and ultimately lost their cameras. For some reason, I don't know why it is, it happens to me. People are very excited about getting involved in projects, but when it comes to actually doing anything, either A, very slow, 2, don't reply, or C, might even lose your things. So you're going to have to really, really think about whatever you're sending out, can you afford to lose it? Obviously, within your own country, it's a little bit different. You should know your postal systems, know what you're doing with things like that. And ultimately, you could probably drive to the person's house, depending how big your country is, obviously. When you're working internationally, there are so many different authorities and institutions and companies that play a stake in your work. It's just not worth thinking about. Now, obviously, I've talked about this in my secret project. We did have issues. So, you know, I have real life experience of this. And obviously, one of the side effects of this is only going to be delays for the rest of the people involved. Now, delays can be a bit annoying. For me, who's organising the project, my biggest problem out of any of these things is really the poor communication that people have. You know, you've got to be brutally honest about these things. When I email someone and say, you know, you are going to take part, you are going to only have it for a maximum of a week, 2 weeks, the reason I do that is because the project will get longer and longer. If everyone said, oh, can I have it for an extra week? I'm going on holiday for a month, all this sort of thing. This is why the projects take so long. It's obviously part of their nature, and obviously you have no way of knowing if the people are going to be like this. For me personally, I wouldn't want to involve them in a project again, because it goes against what I'm trying to achieve with the project, and that's give everyone a go. And I'm only interested in those that are going to be reliable, to be honest. I mean, I had someone who took delivery of the camera and then spent, I can't think if it was a month or two, not emailing, not replying to anything, and then all of a sudden messaging, sort of apologising, that didn't know what to say. To be honest, I don't find that acceptable. You sign up for something like this, you could return it straight away, you could just email at any point and say I'm not interested anymore, and it's never ever going to be a problem. And obviously no one can ever say they can't get hold of you, because they're bound to have an email from you, a message, or an Instagram feed or something from you, so that's neither an excuse either. So yeah, that's covered a couple of things there. But what you got to always think is it's all about having fun. There's not that many people that do things like this. They're not common. There are obviously plenty of people out there. I've heard of loads of people that have sent off cameras around the world, and most of them are like point and shoot. And obviously, one of these, and my third project, is actually one of these. It was a point and shoot camera, and I arranged this with a brand I really love, called Film Washi. He's a very, very decent guy, and I'm trying to do what I can to support him. So he built this one shot himself, put plenty of frames on the camera, so I'd be able to have a lot of people getting involved. And my thinking here was, the more people we get looking at his film, the better. And then it's a nice little payback from me to say thank you to Washi for sponsoring the project. And it was really nice. I got a lot of people interested, and we are very, very close to the end on that one as well. Now, I've always concentrated on doing something a little bit different or unique with them, and this one is exactly the same. My idea is I wanted to involve something all to go with the camera. We played around with a few ideas. And on that one I settled with using a tape recorder. So what's going around with the camera is a tape recorder and a couple of spare tapes. The idea is we just talk a little bit into the microphone, a bit about ourselves and what we're doing. And again, it's something different. It's not a written word anymore, so it's not a notebook like the other examples. So I thought that was different. We've followed a theme again with this one, but that's for the people more or less involved more than anything. And again, I can't wait for this one to finish and start planning my next ones. So of course, I know some of you might be interested in trying to get involved in these. So, like I said, I'm always going to give them to the people that signed up to the newsletter first. It's only right that they get some sort of little bonus from reading my emails every week, which I think is very kind of them. So if you're one of them, thank you so much. So, what do you think is coming up? Well, I've got a couple of ideas. I usually keep a load of ideas. I've talked about my tools before on Trello, and I'll write a load of sort of things as I think of them, and then at some point I'll come back to them and see if it can actually work as an idea or whether I need some equipment. And because I don't have many cameras, this is always going to be a little issue, and I want to send a proper camera. So I'm always wanting to send a 35mm if possible, and preferably something with a manual control that's going to give the ability to really do something different and you have the control rather than a sprocket or a bit of technology controlling what's going on. There will be some sort of individual genre projects. We've got one I've tried to talk with Codec Alaris about, but COVID happened, and obviously that's ruined a lot of situations, and the feasibility of that happening is probably bleak. I could do it myself, but I'm going to see about that. I like to involve others because it can spread awareness, to be honest. So I'm going to have a think about that one itself. And I do want to do like a dark room one at some point. And I do want to do secret project again to give more of you the opportunity to get involved. So if anyone has any 35mm camera they want to send that works, I will gracefully accept them only for projects. I will not take the mickey. I don't want to shoot on anyone else's equipment. I don't want free films. Please don't think of anything like that. I don't mind paying for film myself, but I'd rather it involve someone, if you see what I mean. So yeah, I hope that's give you something to think about. The projects have been fantastic. They're so different. They take a lot of time initially. There's a lot of thinking going on. A lot of putting documents together, and Secret Project was very different where I had to record some videos, which was a bit different for me. So I didn't tend to use video much. It was always the written word, but now you've got to listen to me every week. I think you're all crazy. And then really, I just want to talk about one other little thing. So you might notice that I'll be slowing down a little bit on social media. There's a couple of people I know that have been doing this as well recently, where we find with becoming too involved in social media, we're probably too addicted to our mobile phones and what's happening in the world. And I don't think that's a particularly good thing, to be honest. My first experiences of calming down social media was actually to come out a load of Facebook groups. I think I was in about 50 different groups, and obviously I wasn't posting in them, other than weekly podcast if it was relevant to the group, which it seemed to be okay. And there were some lovely groups, but I took a decision to come out of nearly all of them. So I'm really realistically only in about one sort of genre group per thing I'm interested in, which has really reduced it, really helped me focus a little bit on these few smaller groups, which is where all the involvement is, to be honest. And it's much nicer for feedback as well. And it was a really good experiment. That's also freed up a lot of time, so I don't sit there now going through my phone, scrolling down amazing photos, which of course is no bad thing, you think, but actually all you're doing is looking at other people's work. And I think there's some sort of psychology here where your unconscious mind is probably looking at their work too much. You're trying to compete, and it could actually be a detriment to yourself. Now, I think this is true because I've noticed after a couple of weeks of doing this, I seem to have more time because I'd be putting my phone down, and then I was thinking, I've actually got time to write blog articles. So I've managed to get some of them out, which has been fantastic. It means I've had time to edit a couple of things here and there and get more done on my podcasting and start work on a another website, which I'll talk about at some point, just not today. So yeah, that was really cool. And the other point of reducing the social media was obviously, like I say, to try and stop imitating other people. Someone pointed out that they felt like I was sort of imitating their work. It was very nice that it was like honouring their work, but felt that I should probably mention them in my work. Now, initially I was quite upset about this because I wouldn't initially copy anyone, and if I did, I would message them and say, "Look at this, this is what I've done, a bit like yours." That's not me. If anyone knows me, they'll say my work isn't really like that. I think I'm known, certainly amongst my friends who I do these group shoots with, don't tend to copy other people. Or if I do, I'll do it in a different way, a different style, a different lighting, sort of thing. And it's not because I'm more talented than anyone. It's just I like to think I think differently, as do all other photographers, sort of thing. So yeah, I say it was a little upsetting, but after a week or two calming down, thinking about this, it's obviously the unconscious mind at work. But I wasn't doing it like that. For instance, this one person, fantastic photographer, and I really love his work. But there's no way I was like looking at his website, looking at his feed, and thinking, right, how can I do something like that? My work is so at that moment, and like I say, you'll only know this from either watching Them little videos I do on Instagram are, if you're a friend of mine, you know this without a doubt, that sometimes we just go to things like group shoots, or I'll go to one of the cities and I'll see something and do it. There is no planning most of the time. That's just not how I work. It's not who I am. So when I've been shooting these buildings, like I say in my blog, I see them from a distance. I know what angle I want by the time I walk up to it. I get my settings bang done, walk to the next one. Sometimes I'll take two shots. And sometimes I might try a different angle, little things like that. I don't have any thoughts really about what I'm going to do with the image. But when I'm working for my project work with the architecture side, I am shooting elements and corners and things I know will work in a certain pattern. Now, if that's anyone like anyone else's work, then I'm sorry, that's how it is. It's just one of them things. It's very hard to come up with something totally unique. Yeah, so there's no intention to copy someone. It's not like I've got this picture in front of me, or I've wrote something down beforehand. I've got something on my phone, think, right, this is the angle I need to get. And then I'm going to ask him how he did his work, because that's not what happened. So this has been really good for me, because now I'm finding I'm coming up with ideas from other sources. It's something a lot of artists talk about, and again a lot of my guests, where they come up with ideas from other things like books, it could be culture, music, all these sorts of things. And it is so true. I've got an idea I want to do that I got off a music track. Now, I can't do it at the minute because it involves portraiture, and there is no way I'm going in people's houses. I don't care what anyone else is doing, I'm not doing it. So that's something I've wrote down for my list and something I want to do in the future. And that's just one example sort of thing. Some of the examples you're going to see soon. I've been working on something very new in the last past 2 nights. And the only people know about it are those models I've used. The only people who know about it are some of the models that I've shot through a couple of group shoots a few times. And I've used a couple of their images in this unique style. Now, I might bring that out as a little book or something. But again, I repeat, this will go out to my newsletter and subscribers first and foremost. So I do think, for those of you who have maybe thought about locking down your social media, give it a go, honestly. A friend of mine's done something similar where he's not using social media in the day. Another thing is to delete the app. So then that way you're only going to be using it actually when you're physically at a computer. That might mean you'll negate a lot of your activity and focus on just doing things like replies and commenting here and there. So it'd be interesting to see what effect it has on you. I know initially, for a laugh, me and my wife checked our phones to see what our usage was on our phones. And obviously you're horrified by it. It's absolutely disgusting, really. Because how much of this time is actually productive learning, to be honest, or learning for art's sake or enjoyment? It's very, very hard to say. So I think my next stage is to try and delete the apps off my phone. I haven't quite been brave enough, if that's the word, as yet, because I think, like, at the weekend, they are sort of useful here and there, but till I remove them, I can't say if they are or not. So that's sort of where I'm heading. And I know a lot of you might think that's a pretty crazy thing to do for someone who's a blogger and a podcaster, try to share his work and gain an audience, which I know it sounds stupid, but my figures have gone up by putting less time into this, which seems, you know, crazy really. But then I've been working with my friends of the show in that sense, so hopefully their networks are helping me more than anything. Or maybe it's more guests equals more followers. It's hard to say. I can obviously see figures on things, but let me make this very clear, and I've said this before. It doesn't matter who I interview. If they've got 10,000 followers, a million followers, they will not get more listens than you or me. That's just not how it works. The only people who are going to get a lot more listens are those people who really share their work, or people that have genuine followers. And I've said this a few times to people who've come on the show and said, well, I'm a little bit nervous that who's going to listen to me? I don't know anyone. And, you know, I had the Ilford Master Andrew Sanderson, and he never realised how much of a following he had till he started work on Facebook. And he has lots of people looking at his work, and he had lots of listeners. So I think it's fantastic, and, you know, you can do this. Maybe, you know, a solution for some of us is to focus on one social media area, so or one tool like Facebook, or is it Twitter, or is it Instagram, or Pinterest, you know, whichever one suits you really. I notice a lot of the film community chat more on Twitter, but then I don't have time for that in my, you know, in a day job. That's going to put you out for 10 hours a day where you can't speak to someone. And if it's someone like Em who's on the opposite side of the world, your time zones don't correlate. So it's a different experience. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just something to think about. And obviously, like, you know, Instagram is fantastic in some ways. It's been great for me to find people. I'm slowly going away from this beautiful world where everyone's perfect and only takes amazing photos. I mean, you look at my blog, I put all sorts of stuff on there, good, bad, what I'm working on, my videos from just when I'm out on the road with my phone. And that's, to me, is part of who I am. It's about being real, and I don't think there's enough of that on Instagram as yet. Maybe that'll change, we'll see. Facebook, I tell you, seems to be a totally mixed bag. It's fantastic for some of the group stuff, and some of the group stuff is probably more useful than anything else, because that's where you can find help, to be honest. So some of the groups I've come across, one of the recent ones was like a UK film one, set up by James Lane, I interviewed a couple of weeks back. Now, this was really useful because James is such a brilliant mind for people who are interested in, like, developing film. So it's such an interesting thing to find, and he's trying to grow that group. Fantastic. And there's some unique groups that I'm involved in, like, you know, there's always a good street photography group, and there's a good architecture group. And people are very kind on these places, so I'm probably swayed towards Facebook, and I don't think it would damage much if I left Twitter, to be honest. But that's, you know, part of the future, so I'm going to see what happens with all that, to be honest. It's all sort of work in progress, and anything I can do to get more time to write and produce more work is only a good thing. And to be creative is obviously my sort of main aim. I mean, it has to be as a photographer and someone who's real. That's what it's all about. It's creating work that's going to help people or inspire people, or you do it for a reason. And even if it's just fun, and I know not everyone is into that, But to me, that's what I'm interested in. I like to have fun with my family. So why wouldn't I want to have fun with my photography? It's just everyone's very, very different. There may not be a podcast next week. It's going to be very dependent on time. I do have someone booked. It's just whether or not I can get that edited and published more or less the same night. It's very slim chance because I'm going away for a week. I may not be able to get that done. But hopefully I'll have some booked in for the week after and the week after that. We'll see what happens. Nothing's going to stop. That's the main thing. I've still had a lot of yeses from people. But this is the hardest part of the job, is pinning them down to days and times. I get a lot of people who say yes, but then I never hear back from them. Which is fine, you know, people are busy, but so am I. So I tend to just see if people are really interested, obviously, then they will reply and sort it out. So yeah, there's plenty of nice people around the corner. And like I've always said on the podcast, I am trying to reach out to certain types of people, whether they're from the minorities or not. There is a variety of people I'm reaching out to at the minute. And for me, it's been one of the hardest things is to get people interested. It's really not that easy at all. So obviously always bear with me, but there's always, you know, millions of people around the world who do want to get involved, and that's the main thing. I hope you found that useful. So I hope that was useful in some ways. Please do check out James Lane's group, and please think about, you know, if you do need black and white developing, because film dev's too busy at the minute, I would really recommend you give James a try. His company's called The Zone Imaging Lab. And what I've said before is, what one of his unique features is, he's got a choice of developers. So for anyone wanting to send in film, they can sort of tell him what sort of look they want, and he could pick the relevant developer. And I think that's a very niche thing. So I'll put a link to it anyway. And hope you do engage with him. He's a very sociable person in the group. He's very knowledgeable. So please do use him in that sense. So please do use his mind. That's what it's there for. A great character. So I hope you enjoyed this one. I appreciate it. It's just me waffling away by myself. But I thought it'd be nice for you to start thinking about projects. Not necessarily to get involved in mine, but maybe start thinking about doing one yourself. Check out the website. You'll see some of the things I've done. You'll see some of the structure involved and some of the notebooks and how it's worked. There's, you know, behind the scenes, a couple of videos. There's the book for the negative journey. And there's all sorts of little bits. There's stamps and all sorts for the secret project, and then obviously I'll let you know how the Washi project goes. That one's called the Retro 72. Nice bit of fun, that. Yeah, I think it'd be really nice to get more people actually running these projects, and maybe I can get involved with you if you'll be kind enough to invite me, because I know I would love to do things like this. I've never been invited to anything like this, to be honest. So when I did it, I was like, does anyone do this sort of thing before? Has anyone tried it? And then, like I say, slowly you learn about people doing these sorts of things. It doesn't matter if it's unique. This isn't like showcasing your work. It's a bit like having pen pals and sending things to people, like the old days. So the main thing is, let's have some fun together. Let's make some great friendships, because that's what's important in life. So I suppose I'll have to sign up. So all I need to say is thank you so much for listening. Please do check out the Friends of the Show keep listening to the podcast, everyone. And await our next guest, hopefully in a week's time. Otherwise, take care, and I'll post you some pictures from my holiday, hopefully soon. Take care, everyone.